على حب الحسين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I would like to thank our beloved brother, the elder of this community, Haji Aymi Rafati, for his kind and wonderful words. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lengthen his life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the soul of his faithful wife, Haj Khanum Amit Rafati. And let's recite Surah Al-Fatiha for her soul. Bismillah ar-Rahman. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وعلى أهل بيتك المظلومين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا غريب يا شهيد كربلاء فيا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. Hussein has gone and his sister is alone. And her lonely sight is so hard to bear. It will touch so many hearts of stone. But her suffering no one shall share. The daughter of Fatima is full of sorrow. In her path, so many woes have been steered. She doesn't know what will happen tomorrow. She hasn't finished wiping her tears. Her parents are Fatima and Ali, none other. And to the Prophet Muhammad, she is so dear. But this night, she is without her brothers. And no comfort seems to be near. This lady is not afraid to lose her life. She speaks out against cruelty without fear. To spread her brother's message, she strives, breaking everyone's heart with her silent tears. The tyrants wanted to crush the struggle, but it shall never end, and also our tears. Everyone is moved on hearing her troubles. Karbala is and will be remembered each year. In the stormy seas, we've not yet set ashore. Many evil minds would want to stop our tears. But this morning will continue forevermore, and with the cries of Ya Hussein ringing in our ears. Ya Hussein. On the day of Ashura, the enemies killed the grandson of the Prophet. They massacred Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But the values and the teachings and the spirit of al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam lives after Ashura. Because Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam represents the values of Islam. No one, no force in history can stop the religion of God. No force in history can kill Islam. And when you have Hussein representing and embodying Islam, no one can kill the name of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. The Imam alayhi salam offered to humanity the most beautiful lessons in history. All the values of Islam were embodied on the day of Ashura. The value of honesty, the value of integrity, the value of forgiveness, the value of humbleness. All the virtues that you find in history since the day of Adam alayhi salam are found in Karbala. That is why in our ziyaras, in our salutations and visitations, when we visit al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, many of our ziyaras, such as ziyarat warith, how does it start? How does it start? As-salamu alayka ya warith Adam safwatullah. You start with the first caliph whom Allah chose on this earth. Peace be upon you, O Adam, the inheritor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you salute all other great prophets, the greatest messengers of God, until you arrive at al-Imam al-Hussein. Because what al-Imam al-Hussein did in Karbala on the day of Ashura is the culmination of 124,000 prophets, what they stood for, what they represented, and the values they gave to humanity. This is al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And that's why the message of Hussein will never stop. But my dear brothers and sisters, Imam al-Hussein, his role ended on Ashura. He passed his test. He went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Ashura, in the afternoon, our role began. My role began and your role began. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. To carry those values in our society, in our everyday life, and to deliver it to the world. Many, many values in Karbala. Briefly, I would like to share with you three significant values that we are in a dire need today in our society. One amazing value we find in Karbala with the Imam, his family members, and all of his companions is the value of courage, of being proud of their identity. There's a difference between being arrogant and being negatively proud, and between being self-confident and valuing your faith. What we see in Karbala is amazing self-confidence. That's why you even see those young youth of Karbala, when they would go out to the battlefield, what would they say? For example, Al-Qasim, that 13, 14-year-old young man, when he goes, brothers and sisters, it's not a joke. He's faced with 30,000 strong men. He goes like a warrior and he says, "In tunkiruni fa ana najlul Hasan." You don't know me? You reject me? I am the son of Al-Hasan. You see, with so much pride and honor and valor, he meets 30,000 men. Simply him saying those lines, he demoralized many of them. Ali ibn al-Akbar goes out to the battlefield. أنا علي بن الحسين بن علي. They introduce themselves with so much self-confidence. This is a lesson for us, my dear brothers and sisters. Yes, we live in an era, maybe our environment may be hostile. Maybe the highest office in our country does not view Islam favorably. He said it last year, not this March, the previous year. Many of you saw the interview. He himself said it. President Trump, he said it. He said, "I believe Islam hates us, has a problem with us." When you have the highest office in the country saying that, what do you expect? Islamophobia is serious, my dear brothers and sisters. But we Muslims, if we want to honor the legacy of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we carry that courage with full pride and honor and self-confidence. We let the world know that yes, we are Muslims and we are the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And that's not something that is shameful to us. We're proud of that. and will let the world know the values of our Prophet. This is what Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam expects from us, my dear brothers and sisters, on the day of Ashura. Reflect that self-confidence in your community, in your society. We have to stand strong and make sure that our children, our families are also strong and proud of their religious values and proud of their identity. And we have to be very active in society, my dear brothers and sisters. Rights are never given to you. Show me where in history anyone got their rights. You have to seek your rights. They're never handed to you for free. You have to earn them. You have to work for them. And many of you have heard that tonight we have voter registration booths outside. If I want to strengthen my community here and make sure that government officials take me seriously and care about my rights, I have to voice my concerns. One way is to vote. They'll take you seriously. When they see you not voting, no one is going to be concerned about your rights, my dear brothers and sisters. You have to demand for your rights. And this is how we honor the legacy of the Imam alayhi salam. Our goal is to bring justice to our society, to protect our community. And voting is one way to protect ourselves. There are several ways, but this is very important. That's one thing that we find in Karbala. Another amazing value that we find in Karbala, but mainly after Karbala. And here comes the role of Lady Zainab alayhi salam. We see Lady Zainab alayhi salam beautifully combines between courage when she stands in front of those enemies and she delivers powerful speeches in Kufa, even in Damascus. She would give powerful speeches. People were shocked. It's as if Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Lion of God, was standing there and speaking. She would combine between that courage and also chastity, my dear brothers and sisters. No one was able to combine these two like Lady Zainab. Many people think that if I have to observe the values of hijab and be chaste, I have to sit in my house and lock myself up. Zainab says no. Go out there in society, correct the injustice, speak up the truth, and yet maintain your chastity, and yet maintain your values, and yet maintain your hijab. My dear brothers, but especially the sisters, today the hijab has come under attack in the West, especially in Europe. Every day you hear of a new country, of a new city imposing bans on the hijab. That's so ironic. They claim to be living in free societies. If someone wants to freely practice their right to cover their hair, to observe their Islamic teachings, they're banning them from doing so. In public schools, in colleges, in many, many areas, even on buses, they're not allowed. We have to defend your rights. Now, the sisters can do a much better job. I can't really go out there and defend hijab because then they'll accuse me of trying to impose it on females, right? The sisters have to stand up and they have to protect this Islamic value that Lady Zainab alayhi salam delivers to you after Karbala. You have to go out there in society and say, I am proud of the hijab and I will fight for it. Then we'll make a difference. Hijab represents human completion. How many of you know Tawakkul Kirman? She was the recipient of the Nobel Prize. She fully observes the hijab. Once at a conference, someone asked her, why do you wear the hijab when it is the symbol of backwardness? And you're such an acclaimed lady. You have achieved the Nobel Prize. Why is it that you wear something that is backwards? Listen to her reply. What did she say? She said, actually, let me share with you something. Human beings in their early evolution, they were unclothed. You know, that's the images that you see from those cavemen or whatever. As they started to evolve and become advanced, they started to wear more and more and more. And today the human being has reached the highest levels of evolution, and we see that we are clothed. Therefore, hijab represents the completion of the human being. That's how you defend the hijab in society. That's how you honor the legacy of Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. Yes, there will be challenges, but that's what Zainab teaches you, that there are challenges in your life. You have to be patient, because Allah is testing you in this world. There will be struggles. As you observe your hijab, there will be struggles. Make no mistake. But in the end, if you stay strong and firm and confident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you and help you. Several years ago in the New York Times, I read a very interesting article about a lady called Zahra Shima. She lives in the New York, Long Island area. She comes from a religious family, so she wore the hijab. She was interested in going to law school. Now her family was concerned. Zahra, if you go to law school and you're wearing the hijab, there is no future for you. There aren't many opportunities for you. Which firm is going to accept you later? Take off the hijab when you go to college and you're studying law. She had that crisis. What should I do? My family is pressuring me to remove it. There will be obstacles. Many people, maybe in college, later on, in the legal world, legal profession, they're not going to welcome my hijab because of their misconceptions and bigotry and stereotypes. But she decides to stand firm. She goes, she completes her study with the hijab. Now that she graduated from law school, she's looking for employment. Now here's what happens. Initially, it was tough. When they would see in her application to get a job, that they would see her picture or they would meet her in an interview, when they would see that she has the hijab, she said many, many firms rejected. They simply were not willing to employ me. As soon as they saw my hijab, it came to a point where I seriously considered to remove, to take off the hijab. I tried 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 applications, but then I stood firm. I said, oh Allah, I have you. You will support me. I'm doing this for your cause. She says, after a while, there was this firm that was willing to employ me. They were kind of anxious, you know, they didn't know what to expect, but they gave it a try. And then she explains how now she's become one of the most successful people in that firm. Once they saw her true chastity, the values that she represents, how beautifully she carries the values of Islam, they became interested in the religion of Islam and they had so much respect for her. It was a difficult journey, but in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped her. Let us take that courage and chastity of Lady Zainab alayhi salam on the day of Ashura. And on her journey to Kufa, on her journey to Damascus. But Zainab alayhi salam teaches us, we have to be patient. If Allah loves a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will try that human being. The hadith states, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا. If Allah loves His servant, غَتَّهُ فِي الْبَلَاءِ غَتَّهُ. Allah will submerge you in difficulties if He loves you. Because these difficulties, my dear brothers and sisters, develop the human soul. They make us strong. In the face of calamity, we become stronger. And we prepare ourselves for the Akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards your patience. The more we suffer here, the greater our status will be on the Day of Judgment. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi states, on the Day of Judgment, when the believer sees the reward that he received from God for sleeping one night ill with fever. And you know, fever is not the worst of the illnesses, right? We can all handle fever one night. When you see the reward of sleeping one night in illness, on the Day of Judgment, you will wish you were sick your entire life. When you see the generosity and the compensation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people think that if they're suffering, if they're going through pain, God doesn't love me. God has forsaken me. That's not the case. Look at the closest people to God. How much suffering did they endure in their lives? Suffering is never a sign that Allah does not love you. In fact, Allah is giving you an opportunity. Through suffering, that is an amazing opportunity to develop your soul, to establish your hereafter. And remember that this suffering in this life washes away our sins, my dear brothers and sisters. We all have sins. Which one would you rather choose? To pay off for your sins here in this life? With some suffering here and there, or in the grave? Or on the Day of Judgment? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he tells us you can't handle the pain of the judgment. The pain of the akhirah, you cannot handle it. You're too weak. The Imam alayhi salam says, look at yourself. You trip and you fall and you bleed. And you lose patience. You cannot walk on the hot ground. It's too much for you. If a thorn goes into your body, you see how weak you are. You think you can handle the punishment of the akhirah? Sometimes when we suffer in this world, Allah is washing us from our sins. That's rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, because when you are surrounded with blessings, you take them for granted. You don't know their value. When do you know the value of rain? Not in the Northeast. They always get the rain. They don't know the value of the rain. You in California know the value of the rain because you experience droughts. Sometimes we forget the value of our health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might test you. So you remember the value of your health, so that when you become healthy again, you don't waste your life. You use the gift of health to serve the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take all these values, my dear brothers and sisters, on the day of Ashura, and let us live by the values of Hussein, by the values of Zainab throughout the year. But I want to remind you, my dear brothers and sisters, don't think that the tragedy for the Ahlul Bayt ended on the day of Ashura. In fact, when you examine the events that unfolded after the day of Ashura, you will see severe, severe tragedies. Possibly even worse tragedies than the day of Ashura. Al-Mullah Sultan Ali was a very respected, pious scholar. He says, once in my dream, I saw the 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Faraj. He tells him, oh Imam, in Ziyarat al-Nahiyah you say, I shall cry blood for that tragedy. Can you tell me what exactly do you cry blood for? What event on Ashura makes you cry blood? Is it Ali ibn al-Akbar and the Imam seeing him? The Imam alayhi salam cries, and he tells him, that is a very heavy tragedy on my heart. But that's not the tragedy that I cry blood for. He tells him, then is it Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam losing his two hands and trying to bring the water? He breaks into tears and he says, that is a very heavy tragedy on the heart of Ahlul Bayt. But that's not the one that makes me cry blood for the day of Ashura. He tells him that it must be the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself. He tells him, yes, that's the greatest tragedy in history. But there is another tragedy that makes me cry blood. He tells him, what is it, Imam? There are no more tragedies. He tells him, it is my aunt Zainab. My aunt Zainab being taken as a prisoner of war, being paraded from one city to another city. This is the tragedy that I cry blood for. Allahu Akbar. Oh Zainab, what did she have to go through? Take your hearts now to Karbala. And that evening, on that evening, let's see what happened to the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. After the Imam and his companions were martyred, Umar ibn Sa'ad, he commanded his army to go and raid the tents of the women and children. And he ordered them to set those tents to fire. Imagine little children. They just lost their guardians and protectors. Their only refuge now was those tents. Even those tents were burned and attacked. Imagine that scene in Karbala. Little children, women running around the tents. What a tragedy, O believers. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he commanded the women, his aunts, his cousins, he told them, flee, get out of the tents, they are burning the tents. But then Lady Zainab alayhi salam was seen going to one of those tents. She was asked, Zainab, don't you see this is dangerous? Those tents are being set to fire. Where are you going? She pointed at one tent and she said, Inna li fil khaymati shabun gharib. There is one lonely young man in one of those tents. I want to go and save him. Who is he? She said, Zain al-Abidin is in the tents and he doesn't have the energy. He's too sick to move. I want to go and protect him. When she enters the tents, she sees Shimr ibn Dhil Jawshan standing by the body, by the Imam Zain al-Abidin. The Imam alayhi salam was lying on a mat. Shimr, he takes that mat very ferociously. He pulls it from under the body. And then he beats Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin. He takes out his sword. He wants to kill him. Zainab comes. She falls on the body of Zain al-Abidin. She tells him, no, by Allah, Shimr, you kill me before you kill him. You have no right. Just imagine the tragedies that happened. One of those, Hamid ibn Muslim was a historian journalist who attended Karbala. He didn't go there to participate in the battle, he was just an observer. He says, when they set the tents to fire, I saw a three-year-old girl running around. Her dress had caught on fire. She did not know how to extinguish that fire. He said, I felt bad for her. I approached her, I helped her put out the fire. Then she was barefoot, the ground was so hot, she went under the shadow of my horse to protect herself from the heat of the sun. Then she would lift one foot and put another one because the ground was so hot, it was burning her feet. I looked at her, I told her, daughter, who are you? Introduce yourself. She looked at me, she told me, Ya Shaykh, hal qara'at al-Qur'an? Have you read the Qur'an, O man? You ask me who I am? I ask you a question, have you read the Qur'an? He's like, yes, I've read the Qur'an. Why? What does this question have to do with the Qur'an? She told him, Ya Shaykh, have you read the verse? فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Have you read the verse that says, as for the orphan, do not harm the orphan? He said, yes, I've read this verse. Why? She told him, Ana yatimatul Husayn. I am the orphan of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. This was Fatima al-Sughra, the very daughter of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Then she told him, Oh man, dullani ala tariq al-ghariq. Man, can you show me where Najaf is? Which direction is Najaf? He tells her, my daughter, why you ask about Najaf? She says, I've heard from Zainab, my aunt, that our guardian Ali ibn Abi Talib is there. I want to go to him. I want to tell him what is happening to us in Karbala. He says, "No, my dear daughter, Najaf is too far from here, but you're very thirsty. Come with me, let's go to the river. I want to give you some water." He takes her to the river. After 2-3 days, when she sees the water flowing, she breaks into tears. She takes some of that water and she says, "I have my sisters, they're thirsty. Let me go and give them some water." Hamid ibn Muslim says, "No, my daughter, everyone has had their water. They're in the tents. You're the only one who's missing outside here. You drink the water." He said, "I gave her a cup of water." She looked at the water before she drank. She wanted to drink, but she hesitated. She told me, "Oh man, let me ask you a question. When my father Hussein farewelled us for the last time, I still remember his withered lips. Just tell me, did they give him water before they killed him, or did he die thirsty?" He begins to cry. He says, "No, my daughter, I have to tell you that unfortunately they killed him thirsty. She spilled the water. She said, 'How can I drink the water when my father Hussein died thirsty?'" Then he said, he takes her to the tent and he tells Zainab alayhi salam to take care of her. What a night is what it was in Karbala. Take your hearts on such a night. The woman and the children have lost their guardians, their protectors. Fear is surrounding them. What a night it was in Karbala. Lady Zainab alayhi salam was in charge. She had the responsibility of gathering the women and the children in the tents. She gathers everyone. She makes a count of the children and women to make sure that no one is missing on such a difficult night. When she gathers all of them and she counts them, she realized that there is one woman missing. Rabab, the wife of Hussein, was nowhere to be found. Lady Zainab alayhi salam, in the darkness of the night, she heads out, she sets out to the deserts looking for Rabab. She goes to this side, that side, she cannot find her. Then finally she hears a very faint voice coming from that dark desert. She approaches that voice. She hears Rabab crying. It's as if she's talking to someone. Lady Zainab alayhi salam tells her, "Sayyida Rabab, what's going on here? Why are you out here?" She tells her, "Oh Zainab, do not blame me. I cannot get my infant Ali ibn al-Asghar off my mind. I was too thirsty. I was dehydrated. I could not nurse him. Now, hours ago, they gave us some water. Now I can nurse my child. I am searching for my child Ali. I want to go and nurse him now." Lady Zainab alayhi salam comforts her and she takes her back to the tent. Then Lady Zainab, after making a count, now this time she realizes Sukaina was missing, the daughter of the Imam alayhi salam. She heads out to the dark desert looking for Sukaina. She hears a faint voice coming from the body of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, where he had been martyred. She approaches the body of Hussein. She sees Sukaina. She had placed her lips on the severed head of Imam Hussein's body. And she would say, "Abba, Abba ya Hussein. My dear father Hussein, Aba man alladhi aytamani? Father Hussein, who was the one who orphaned me? Aba man alladhi hazza waridak? My dear Father, who is the one who severed your head, who cut your veins? Who is the one who did this to you? Lady Zainab alayhi salam embraces her. She tells her, Sakina, in the darkness of the night, why are you here? She tells her, my aunt, the enemies, they cast fear in my heart. I got lost. I didn't know where to go. So I came to the body of my father, Hussein. Yes, later, Lady Zainab alayhi salam, when she gathers everyone in the tent, now it was her turn to go and spend some final moment by the body of her brother Hussein. She goes, she approaches that body that was stained in blood. She sits next to the body of the Imam. She places her two blessed hands under the body of Hussein. And then she addresses her grandfather, Rasulullah. She says, Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Jadda. صلى عليك مليك السماء هذا حسينك بالعراء. This is your Hussein, ya Rasulullah. Do you see him? How here he's stranded in the deserts of Karbala. محزوز الرأس من القفا مسلوب العمامة والردى. Then she says, oh Allah, تقبل منا هذا القربان قربان نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. She says, oh Allah, accept this sacrifice. This is the sacrifice of your prophet. Accept this from us. Look at Lady Zainab alayhi salam and the contentment that she had with the will of God. All she asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to accept that sacrifice. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ala Muhammadin ayyamun qalabiyan qalibun. والعاقبة للمتقين. Everyone together. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين. وعلى أخيه أبي الفضل العباس وأخته الحوراء زينب ورحمة الله وبركاته.